Good morning. Good to be here after quite some time and to be punctual. I was very fortunate this morning to catch the ferry at the right time and I could be here on time. But still, while I stayed overseas, so to speak, could come here on time, I do notice that there are some who stay locally but who are not on time. It's always true. Some people always say, those who stay far will always be early. Those who stay near will always be late. And there are some who will always be the late so-and-so. All right. Now, the topic for this morning is the year of the rooster or the cock. Next Saturday will be Chinese New Year. And the Chinese New Year will usher in the year of the rooster or the year of the cock, and it will start from 28th January and will last until 18th February. That means that all those who were born at this time, between 28th January and 18th February, will be cocks or hens. I'm not sure which one. Well, I have more to talk on these two as we go on after this. Now, you are very privileged. You are the first one for me to do this study of the year of the rooster. Those who were born 28 January to 18 February 2018 will be roosters, as well as those born in 1933, 45, 57, 69, so on, 12-year intervals. All these would be. I'm not going to ask you how many hens or cocks or roosters are in my presence this morning, because if you tell me, I know already you are either 12 years old or 24 years old or 36 years old. And if you are a woman, you may not like me to know your age. So I will not ask you. But you know for yourself. Now, you are very privileged because you are the first assembly in Penang to do this study with me, the year of the rooster. Next Sunday, I shall go on to Burnborough Gospel Hall, and after that, to Allen Gillies Gospel Centre and to Bukit Metajam on the 12th of February, and finally to Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. Now, I have been doing this for many, many years. Since when? Well, I'll tell you as we go on. Well, this year of the rooster, so-called, comes from the concept of the zodiac, which is a circle representing the year divided into 12 sectors of 30 degrees each. 360 divided by 12 is 30. So one sector would represent one animal. And that's how those of you who are born in different years would be represented by these animals. The first one, of course, would be the year of the rat. The year of the rat. And that's what we Chinese often say, it chu ji gu sa ho si to, and so on, if you know the rhyme very well. Well, I would not be able to say throughout for the 12, but those of you who come from Chinese background would know this very well. Anyway, I started talking on this, before I go on to that, this zodiac animal or animals that we are going to study from year to year are from astrology. Now, astrology is the study of the position of stars, planets, and sun in relation to our lives. That's what astrology calls. Astrology is a pseudoscience. And the Bible warns against us taking heed to astrology. And sometimes we have another term for it, horoscope. Now, the horoscope forecasts and the astrology forecasts are not to be indulged in by Christians because the Bible forbids it. We must trust the word of the Lord for guidance, for leading, and not on the stars. What the stars foretell, as you can read in the newspapers nearly every day. And some people, instead of reading the word of the Lord, will read what the stars foretell. Alright, I began this study of these animals right back in 1983. Now, that would be nearly over 30 years ago. Every single year of every animal in the zodiac circle, I had studied. Now, I want to make it clear that the study here is not a forecast from the based upon the zodiac animal, but the study here is actually a Bible study. And that's why afterwards you need to look into your Bible to study what we are going to talk about. It is a Bible study, and it is taking advantage of the zodiac animal to study the animal in the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about the cock or the rooster, for example? So this is a Bible study and not a forecast of the future. All right, I began this study since 1983 up to today, every single year, and that means this is my third cycle of it already, my third cycle. But it's the last cycle that I started to use PowerPoint, and that would be in the time of the tiger. I started using PowerPoint in the year of the tiger. After two or three more years, four more years, I think, rooster, to reaching again, the ox. After four more years, I won't do any more of these studies. I would have completed everything on PowerPoint, and you can find all that in my website. All right. The year of the rooster is the 10th in the cycle of the zodiac, the 10th animal. And according to zodiac, what the stars foretell, they will say rooster or chicken ranks the 10th among the Chinese zodiac animals. In Chinese culture, rooster represents fidelity and punctuality. I hope those of you who are roosters or hens are punctual every time for the meeting. You are supposed to be punctual, okay? So you must be punctual. After all, if you are a rooster will wake up at the right time and then crow loudly for everybody to be awake. So if you are punctual, everybody will be punctual. For it wakes people up on time. So that's the tenth animal. Soon, two more years, we shall complete this cycle. And two more years, I shall complete the whole series on PowerPoint, and I will not do it anymore, provided the Lord allows me to do so. All right. Carrying on with what these stars foretell. People born in the year of the rooster are beautiful, kind-hearted, hard-working, courageous, independent, humorous, and honest. They like to keep home neat and organized. Now, you find that all these forecasts, so-called, what the stars foretell, are so general that that kind of description need not be true only of a rooster. It can be also true of me, isn't it? Am I not handsome? It's up to you to assess. Kind-hearted, hard-working, courageous, independent, humorous, and I'm not a rooster. But it can describe me, can it not? And not only me, but it can describe any one of you. So you see, all these stars foretell need not have to be true. In fact, are not true. So we need to go to the word of the Lord. Summarily, the rooster is capable, adventurous, kind, hardworking, talented, punctual. Emphasis on punctuality. Hope all roosters from now onward will be punctual. I only wish that I would be brave enough to ask the roosters at the hands to put up their hands, so that from today onward we shall see that they are always punctual in the meetings. But there is also the other side of the story. On the other side, they might be arrogant, self-aggrandizing, persuasive to others, and wild as well as admire things or persons blindly. This can also be true of me. So you see, do not just believe in what the stars foretell. Believe in what the Word tells us about ourselves. That's more correct. Right, now let's go on to the Bible study. Forget about the zodiac forecast and so on. Let's go to the Bible study. Rooster. Where do we find the word rooster? Now, you can find either as a rooster or as a cock or a cockerel, depending on the Bible version you use. Whatever, it comes from the Greek word elektor, and it occurs 12 times. And all those 12 times, they have to do with Peter. The rooster year is the year of facing reality. Now, this is my theme, that as I study with you this rooster year, I will face you with realities. What we are, actually, what we are really, and not to cover up what we are not, and put on a front, what we are actually. So this will be the theme of our study. And then having known what we are, then we must be prepared for repentance, prepared for restoration, prepared for revival and a renewal, so that we will be what the Lord wants us to be. Right. The word cock, cockerel or rooster, again depending on the version you use, appears 12 times in the New Testament. None in the Old Testament. Apparently, the cock or the fowl family was not prominent or domiciled in the Old Testament days. The cock only appears in the New Testament. Alright, 12 times. And of the 12 times the word cock or rooster occurs, it appears in connection with the stumbling of Peter. You know Peter's story, how Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ and the cock crew. That 12 occasions in the New Testament, they occurred with regard to Peter. One occasion, it refers to the changing of the times in the day and night, the sounding of the watches. It is the word cockerel, and it is from the Greek word electrophonia. In other words, that's where you get phonia, the sound. It crows at different times in the night or in the early morning. And what are these times? For us who study the Bible, it's good to know the background of the times when a cock crows. Alright? So let's look at some of them. We read, for example, in Mark 13:35, "Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing." That is cockerophonia, electrophonia, or in the morning. Four times are mentioned. What are the times? Right? Let's see what they are. Even, midnight, cock crowing, morning. Four. Even refers what the Jews would call the first watch. And the first watch will be from 6 to 9 p.m. That's right. 6 to 9 p.m. The day would begin with 6 p.m. with the Jews. So when you read the Bible, first watch, it would be about 6 to 9 p.m. Second watch would be midnight. When you read about midnight in the Bible, and often the Lord Jesus Christ told parables where midnight is mentioned, then you will know that it will refer to the time between 9 p.m. to midnight, the second watch. And that's the time when the cock will crow. I'm not sure whether you have heard or not, but I have often heard at that time, before midnight, the cock will crow. Many of us would associate the cock crowing at dawn, but there are times at night when the cock will crow. And here, the second watch will be the clock actually crowing at 11:30 p.m., between 9 p.m. to midnight. Then there's a third watch, clock crowing. And there, John 18:27, the Lord warned Peter, before the clock crows twice, you will deny me thrice. And that's what happened. The time of crowing will be between midnight to 3 a.m. And again, the second cock crow would be roughly about 1:30 a.m. So that would be roughly the time when Peter would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the cock crow, before 1:30, you will deny me three times. And we shall see this as we go on afterwards. Then finally, we have the last watch, which is morning, and that will be dawn. All right? Dawn. And so you have four watches according to the Jewish reckoning of time. Right, let's go on from here. When we talk the rooster, we must also think of its counterpart. And what's the counterpart of a rooster or a cock? A hen, of course. And what can we learn about the hen in the scriptures? Well, we know it comes from the Greek word anis, a bird, used only of a hen in the New Testament. And it is found in Matthew 23:37, Luke 13:34, where we read in Mark and Matthew 23, please try to retain the words in this verse, because I shall be referring to it to them after this slide, so that you know what are the thoughts. Let me explain. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem, and he was very concerned and he was very worried. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Now, this was the warning as the Lord Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ was warning them, you will not accept me, soon Jerusalem will be destroyed. You have killed the prophets warning you about this. But let you know this, if you do not repent, Jerusalem will be destroyed. Come to me, just as the chicken are always ready to come to the mother hen. Come to me, but you will not. Instead, you kill the prophets. Alright, let's see what we can learn from that text. The Lord's longing for the people, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, so naturally for shelter. The chicken will quickly hurry to the hen for shelter, but you will not hurry to me for shelter, for refuge, for protection. You killed the very prophets I sent to warn you about this. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. Jesus could easily weep at that time. He said, why are you like that? The people had their choice. They did not want the Lord Jesus Christ. Reject him. We have no king but Caesar. We refuse him. And so, because of your rejection, you will be punished. You will be punished. And don't blame anybody for the consequent condemnation that will befall on you as we go on. Right. Now, we begin our study on the year of the rooster. Just now was just introduction. And you will note how important it is to get the rooster into context. That's what I did just now. Now, there are 3 points that I would like to bring to you this morning about the study of the year rooster. First, the cock shall crow. The cock shall crow. And our theme will be, this is how we have to face reality in the coming year, 2017. Now, the prophecy that prompted Peter to speak. Look at how this word cock occurred with regard to Peter. It had to do with the prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ made concerning Peter and the disciples. He said in Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Mark 14, 27 to 30. Again, pay attention to the context, because the slide will disappear again. And then I will be referring to the text. It says that you will all fall away. Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. Jesus made that statement. And with that statement, he was referring to a prophecy in Zechariah. And what did the prophecy in Zechariah state? Awake, sword against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. From the context, definitely the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ yet to come. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, is actually the fellow of God, the one who sits very closely to him. He is God himself, the Lord, the fellow with God. And he will be struck as a shepherd, and the sheep will flee. Okay, with that as a context, let's examine the statement, the prophecy. The shepherd smitten, so would Christ be. He would be the one referred to in the prophecy as the man who is my fellow. Fantastic, you know. This is the best proof that Jesus was God. And Jesus was with God since before time ever came in. He was God's fellow, sitting with him, so to speak. Alright. Next, the sheep will be scattered when the shepherd will be struck. So would the disciples be, including Peter. When the shepherd would be struck, when he would go to the cross, the sheep would run away, flee. However, the stricken shepherd would rise again to lead the remnant. Zechariah chapter 13, 8 and 9. If you refer to the text, it will say that the people of Israel will be struck. Two-thirds will be killed. Two-thirds will turn away. One-third will remain faithful. And this one-third, the shepherd will come to lead the one-third back to him. This will be the remnant that would be saved when Christ would come again. As for Peter, no. He would stand firm and be strong. He would not stumble. The shepherd would be struck, would be smitten, and the sheep would flee. No. Oh, no, no. I'm the sheep, I'm Peter, I'm the good sheep, I'm the faithful sheep. I will not run away, I will not flee. Face reality. The Lord Jesus said, you will flee. No, I won't. No, you won't. Let's see. The pride that led to Peter's stumbling and denial. His personal boast. What did he say? And Peter, when the Lord said, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. All, when the shepherd is smitten, the sheep will flee. What did he say? He boasted egoistically. Even though all become deserters, I will not. Now, sometimes many of us do say this, aren't we? Don't we? We are proud of ourselves. We will be faithful. We will be faithful. And yet, if you happen to look even at our seats in front of us, how many of those who were with us before, who were sitting in those empty places years ago, they are no more here. Some have gone to join other churches. Good, if they are still faithful to the Lord in those churches. Some have gone away into the world. They are no more with the Lord. Now, I wonder, when they were with us, would they be saying, I will be faithful to Butterworth Gospel Hall? Now, that's the reality, that there are some who have left us. He bragged emphatically, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I hope that this will not be our boast, because Then maybe some say, oh, these people, they have no faith. They are not faithful. They are not loyal. They have run away. But I will remain faithful. I will be true. That's what Peter said. In fact, Matthew 26:33 says, not only will not I, but actually, literally, he said, will I never, 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 never say never. That's what people say. Let's remember Proverbs, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not with a day what a day may bring forth. We trust the Lord for grace. Let us remember the warning in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's go back to Peter and Peter's boast, his persistent boast. He crowed confidently. He was very, very proud. He crowed, I will never, never go away. Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Can you remember that? Can you note that? Mark 14:33. Jesus is supposed to die for us. He says, I will die with thee. He was prepared to die with Jesus. Though I should die with thee. That was Peter. Look at his boast. Some of us perhaps may have this idea also, that I'm going to be faithful to the Lord always. Now, I'm not trying to discourage your faith and so on. The Lord's grace will preserve us through. But let us remember, we must not depend on ourselves. That's real. Yes, he was very proud. I will never desert you. What does he say? He was prepared to die for Jesus. Wow. He's not only prepared to die with Jesus, but he was prepared to die for Jesus. And he said these very words, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Imagine that. I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's what he said. Instead of Jesus saying, I will lay down my life for you, but he said, I will lay down my life for Jesus. That's how boastful he was. He crowed confidently. Now, look at the testimony. When Jesus was faced by the high priest, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah that should come? Are you the one who would die? He said, I will lay down my life for you. John chapter 10 verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for you. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for them. But here we see the reverse. Peter said, I will lay down my life for thee. Will he? Peter's test of reality. Look at the first test. When Peter was invited by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, sit up, pray with me, pray for me while I go further to struggle with the Lord concerning the cup that I am going to drink of. So the Lord went forward and Peter was left behind. When the Lord came back, what did he find Peter doing? He was asleep. He was prepared to lay down his life. He was asleep. And so he failed his test. And he failed his test later on when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, let us be careful what we say. This is reality. We must actually trust the Lord for our faithfulness to go on for the rest. He confirmed the more vehemently. I actually look at the word vehemently is found in the scriptures. He confirmed, I will not deny thee in any way. In any way. This was how proud Peter was. How sure he was of himself. I will not deny thee in any way. His companions also join in. Oh, likewise, also they all. We will also not deny you. We will not. Crowd following. Now, this is reality. A crowd attracts a crowd. And so we find that when one person, rebel, rouser, can say something, soon there will be people who follow, and others follow and follow. And all of them, all the disciples, I will not deny thee. Not deny? Mark chapter 14, verse 50. We read, and they all forsook him and fled. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. This was fulfilled. They all forsook him and fled. I see before me a number of believers who have been faithful. And you are faithful because you remain here. Will you be here still? Next year when I come back, will I see you, or will you also have fled? You go to another church, perhaps that's your choice, and it may benefit. But if you go outside and you go back into the world, you have fled. You have fled like these people. I will not flee. I will die for you. I will die with you. Oh, when the time came, they fled very fast. All right. The statement of the prediction. Let's look at what Jesus said. What he predicted would happen. Firstly, note the solemnity of that statement. He says, verily, or amen, and amen. He said, I say unto thee, Peter, that this day, even in this night, he was very specific. I say unto you, Peter, you, individually, personally, you, this night, this evening, you will forsake me. Not any other time. The sign. How will you know? Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times, Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. A sad fact. Thou shalt deny me three times. Deny. Mark chapter 8:34. This word deny is the same word used by the Lord Jesus Christ concerning discipleship. Mark 8:34. It means to deny utterly or to disown. What is the context? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You want to be my disciple, Peter? Come after me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. What happened? As we shall see later on. Come after me. He did not go after the Lord. He was far behind. He was scattered. Let him deny himself. No, he denied the Lord. Take up his cross. No, he allowed Jesus alone to take up his cross. Follow me. He was scattered. He left. He followed far behind. And he fled. The Lord's words came true. The seriousness of the prediction. Luke 22:31. The Lord said, Peter, know this. I know in yourself you want to be true and loyal to me. But I want to let you know this, that Satan is striving for you. He wants to get hold of you because you are in the front, because you are a faithful follower of me. You become the target of Satan. And let us all remember this too, those of us who are leaders, that we are targets of Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we must be ready for this. There are always spiritual attacks. Leaders must be very careful. And we thank the Lord that he remembers leaders. So, Peter, I have prayed for you. The Savior's defense of Peter. But I prayed for you. And I'd like you to note, I'm not sure which version you use, But in the King James Version and in the New Revised Standard Version, there's a distinction made between a pronoun that is singular and plural. And here we see you is singular. I have prayed for thee, that was singular. Jesus praying for the individual Peter. I have prayed that thy faith fail not. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, he is our advocate. We read in Revelation that Satan is ever the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus is always our advocate at the throne of God. And just as Satan was ready, as he did with Job, to accuse Job, so Satan is always ready to accuse you and me, especially the leaders before the Lord. But remember, we always have an advocate with the Father. And so the Lord had anticipated that he would repent and he would be converted. And he said, when you are converted, and by the way, it's interesting to note, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 7, after Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and the women and the people had seen him, he said to the women, go back, tell the disciples that I have risen from the dead, and Peter, Mark chapter 16 verse 7, go and tell the disciples and Peter. He knew that Peter was very, very down because he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord had a special heart for Peter and Peter. He's recommissioned. And therefore, he told Peter, when you are converted, when you come back, when you are repented, strengthen thy brethren. And I do trust that there are some of you perhaps who have left and have returned to the Lord. And now that you have returned to him, be revived and be renewed and do service for him. Do something for him. That 2017 may be a year of revival and renewal as you face reality this year. The path leading to Peter's slide and downfall. Why did he fall? I mean, how could such a person, such a great leader, fall? Well, let's try to trace his steps. One, his fervency for Jesus. He was very fervent for the Lord. Remember that. Sometimes you can be so fervent for the Lord that we forget what is right and what is wrong. We emphasize on the physical running around, but we fall on the spiritual relationship with God. So be careful of that. And so we find that in the case of Peter, he was always depending on himself. I. His failure in Gethsemane. He was willing to follow the Lord all the way, but there were limitations in him. Spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The flesh is weak. Another thing, we read in Mark 14:54, he followed Jesus afar off. John followed Jesus and went into the court. But he followed Jesus afar off. And because he followed Jesus afar off, he did not follow Jesus right to the end. He stayed behind and he saw a fire. And that cold night, it was an opportunity for him to warm himself in the fire that was there. And that would warn us too of being caught up in the world's fire of warmth, warming us and making us comfortable so that we are prepared to forsake the Lord. All right. Peter's pathetic, sad downfall. First denial, Mark 14:67. The charge of accusation, a woman, a maid, came by, saw Peter. Thou wast with Jesus of Nazareth. That should be very good. At least people knew that he was with Jesus. He should be proud of that. But what did he say? I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And this is what's happening today. even in our world, spiritual as a political. I do not know. I have forgotten. Sometimes we now fall back to selective memory and forgetfulness. We forget things that can pin us down. Oh, I cannot remember. I can't remember. You were with Jesus. No, I don't. I cannot remember that. I do not even understand what you're talking about. These two words are very well noted today in our world, in Malaysia. I've forgotten. Cannot remember. I do not know what you are talking about. I do not understand. These were the very words of the Lord. First denial. Second denial. A second lady came along. Luke 22:58. This is one of them. Wow, they should be happy that you are identified with the Lord. But what did he say? He denied again, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. Somebody was saying, poor Peter, he was so brave in front of all other men, he could testify to the Lord. But at the switch of a lady's skirt, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what happened. All right. You remember in Matthew chapter 13 and 16, Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? Then there were various answers. That whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But today, now, at this moment, I do not know this man. I do not know this man. Poor fella. And so we see Peter's fall. A third denial, the charge of accent. Thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth with this, to thee. Now, the way we speak, the way we talk, the language we use will tell us who we are. You can tell me that I'm a Malay Hokkien when I speak Hokkien, compared to a Klang, a Hokkien in Klang or Malacca. You hear the person in speaking Hokkien in Klang, you know that he is not from Penang. And so on. The speech will tell us who we are. But what did he say? He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man whom you speak. He even saw. Compare this. When Christ was before the high priest, the high priest asked, are you the Christ? And the Lord Jesus said, you are. You will know when you see the Son of Man come that he is definitely the Christ. In other words, Jesus testified to the truth of himself and his identity. But Peter took an oath. He denied the Lord. What a sad thing to do. The cock shall crow. Finished. Second, the cock crowed. Mark 14:72. And the second time, the cock crew. First time, the cock crew. The second time, the cock crew, and it was too late for Peter. Why? Because the Lord had said, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. And so the cock crew the second time. Peter would have denied Jesus three times already. And so Jesus looked at Peter when the cock crew at 1:30 a.m. The Lord looked at him. And then Peter called to mind what the Lord said. This very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And it had been fulfilled. Peter looked at Jesus. Peter was very remorseful. He wept. Poor fellow, he wept. He went out, he wept. Matthew 26:75. And not only did he weep, he wept bitterly. Very, very bitterly. Because he had really denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus remembered Peter. And that's the grace of the Lord. That although he had denied the Lord took him back. and look at the steps the Lord took to bring, to restore him into favor. Peter restored and renewed first to love. Love is the very basis of one's relationship. And it was that relationship with between the Lord, between Peter and the Lord also. So the question was asked, lovest thou me more than these? Three times the Lord Jesus asked Peter. Three times Peter denied. Three times he must now confess that he loved Jesus. Because the question was asked three times. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? In our English version, we don't see the difference. But actually what the Lord asked, he was using different words to make an impact on Peter. Firstly, he said, agape, thou me, do you love me as I love you? Agape is the sacrificial love that you would show. Peter knew that he could not answer the Lord with, yes, I agape you. I love you as you love me. He cannot. He used the word filio. And what does it mean? Filio is a love between friends, between brother and sister, between members of the family. It's a fond love. He dare not say that he really loved the Lord with a sacrifice. I loved you. The Lord asked again second time, do you agape me? He again could not use the word agape. And the Lord descended to his level. Filio, you me, do you love me as a brother, as one of your friend that I'm prepared to have you back? Peter was very sad, very sad. But at the same time, also glad. And he said, Lord, you know my heart, you know. Now, what was the Lord's response when Jesus answered? The Lord said, thou knowest that thou... He said, when Peter answered, thou knowest that I love thee, Jesus said, feed my lambs. Then feed my sheep. Now, again, in our English translation, we don't see the difference. Actually, what the Lord was saying in the first time was, bosco, or pasture. Pasture, shepherd my lambs. Feed my lambs. Bosco. Then, poimaino, shepherd. When you are converted, feed my brethren. So now Peter was to be converted, restored. And the commission to him was, feed my lambs. The little ones, start with the little ones, they need to be fed. But these lambs will also grow into sheep. Then when they grow into sheep, you must shepherd them, guide them, lead them. But both lambs and sheep, whatever it is, you need to feed them. There are those lambs that have grown old but still behave like lambs. They need to be fed. There are those who are lambs who have grown old and who have really matured. They need to be shepherded. And so there are those of us here who are young, who are old, sheep and lamb. The leaders of the assembly must feed and must shepherd them. Feed them with the word, shepherd them with God's guidance. So there was the commission to love, and there was a commission to care. Feed, shepherd my lambs, my sheep. And this is a real commission to all the leaders in Butterworth Gospel Hall for this year 2017. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Lovest thou me more than this? 2017 will bring many, many challenges. And these challenges are included in the word these. Lovest thou me more than these? What are these? Your satisfied, your comfort life, your comfortable life, your comfort zone, your riches, your wealth, your whatever it is, all these things, do you love them more than the Lord? Perhaps he was pointing to the fishing nets. Do you love me more than these fishing nets? Perhaps he was pointing them to the fish that they had caught. Do you love me more than the fish? Do you love me more than this? This is a challenge that we face, all of us here, 2017. Lovest thou me more than this? All right. The cock shall crow. The cock crowed. The cock is crowing now. We read in Mark 13:35. The cock is indeed crowing very hard. It's time for us to get up. The crowing of the cock marks the third of the four watches. Midnight is past. From midnight to 3 a.m., the cock crows. The second cock crow, 1:30 a.m. Now the call is very near. Dawn is coming very soon. Very soon. And we look at the surroundings and the political world around us. Indeed, Christ is coming very soon. Signs are showing. So let us take heed. The clarion call is now. Romans 13:11. Now it is time for us to wake up out of our sleep. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the time of our salvation. Now is the time for us to wake up. So now. We need to take now. To take up the challenge of now. Be real. Be realistic. Now. Okay. The clarion call. The challenge. Be alive. For this year 2017. Let us be alive. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Sin, laziness, comfort. Let's put aside. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us be true to the Lord. Let us not cover up ourselves and let other people see how wealth, how health, how holy we are when we are not, when inside we are corrupt. Let us put on the armor of light against the wiles of the devil. Let us walk honestly as in the day. This is our relationship with the people of the world. Let them be able to see that we are honest. Okay, so with this I finish. I wish all of you a blessed Chinese New Year. Now, of course, you have the opportunity to listen to what I've said again if you visit my website for all of you. So may the Lord bless you. I take this opportunity of my wife and myself to wish all of you here a blessed, bountiful, fruitful, prosperous. I got to use the word prosperous because Chinese New Year, you must use this word. But I use the word prosperous not in the sense of the Chinese using it, of making you wealthy and so on. Prosperous in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says that you will prosper in the walking right before the Lord. There, prosper. May the Lord bless all of you for this Chinese New Year and may it be a year of blessing and bountiful fruit for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we have spent together remembering the Lord Jesus Christ in his birth and in his death and his coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, even as those of us who are Chinese, we shall be celebrating our Chinese New Year. Help us to keep in mind of all the things that we have heard of the rooster year. That Lord, what has happened to Peter may easily happen to us as well. Help us to be loyal, to be faithful to Thee, that we may not be boastful, but we may be humble, trusting Thee, that we may be able to say, Lord, Thou knowest that we love Thee. We ask these things as we commit ourselves to Thee for the rest of this day and the year to come. In the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.